Brenda Bruce, Clive Morton, and Alexander John in Host Planet Earth, a serial in six parts by Anne Howell and Colin Cooper. Part two, The Empty Minds. A new discovery enabled spacecraft to reach distant regions of the universe within weeks instead of years. But a mysterious sickness has been attacking the scientists concerned, and Professor Tate, who opposed the project, has died suddenly and horribly. Host, Planet Earth.
That's tape neatly packed off.
I thought it was rather impressive in a way.
Forgetting that any mystery surrounding his death has been nicely covered up and then carefully smoothed over with a suitably decorous funeral service.
I know, David. It was the ceremony of it, I suppose, the sheer power of ritual.
Maybe poor old Professor Tate is going to be raised incorruptible. But we've got to find out what corruption was kicking around when he died. Is that Mrs. Tate over there?
Yes. I don't know how she got through the service. She looks so sad and shocked.
Try to have a word with her. Tate may have told her something.
David, not now.
I know it's hard, but my guess is that she'll want to talk to people like us.
Very well. I'll see you at the gate. Mrs. Tate? I'm Claire Stewart. We met once before.
Oh, yes.
I used to work with your husband. I can't tell you how sorry I am.
They all say that.
But I really mean it, more than you realize. I knew him very well. He was a great man.
I remember you now. He often talked of your work.
Everyone liked your husband, Mrs. Tate.
Everyone?
And his achievements.
Achievements, oh, yes. We've just been told that, haven't we? A nice little biography. Only the suitable things, of course. Neatly parceled up and neatly delivered to a congregation of hypocrites.
I'm sorry. I don't want to intrude any further, but a friend of mine has just spoken almost the same words, and we want to try and help.
No, it's I who should apologize. Forgive me, my dear. It isn't you. Did you mean what you said just now about helping?
Yes, Mrs. Tate, very seriously.
Perhaps you could come and see me this evening, could you? I shall be alone. In fact, I shall usually be alone now. He had very few friends, real friends. And there were no children, you see.
My dear Mrs. Tate, I am so sorry. Your husband was one of my closest colleagues. We all admired him tremendously.
Thank you, Professor Ormskirk.
It's impossible to estimate the loss to the world of science.
It is a little late to say that.
I beg your pardon?
You killed him, Professor Ormskirk. You and your scientific developments. When you talk about a loss to the world of science, but what do you care about human beings? What does flesh and blood matter to you as long as you can fire off your little rockets into space in the name of science? What are you doing in this church, Professor Ormskirk? Science is your god, and it will kill you too one day. Surely it has killed my husband.
Where did he get this, Mrs.
I found it in his study. It's not something he'd leave lying around at the Stellar Research Institute.
May I see?
Yes.
I dare say you think I'm just an hysterical old woman after that outburst in church, too. I couldn't help it. You see, I know there's something wrong. I know it wasn't a natural death.
Benson's name's been added in pencil.
Do you know him?
He's in hospital. He had a road accident shortly before your husband died. Miss Stewart was in the car.
Yes, I heard. He's lucky to be alive. Many of the people on that list are dead, Mr. Holland, and no one knows why. And if they do, they aren't saved.
I knew, of course, that your husband was concerned at the high rate of sickness among scientists.
Concerned? It was more than concern, my dear. It's been preying on his mind for months, and now this.
I know how you must feel.
Do you? Does anyone? I wonder. If I were a scientist, if I were in your place, I'd get out. I don't know exactly what you're doing with those rockets. My husband never told me very much, but I do know that no good will come of it. Go before it's too late, my dear. Do something else.
Mrs. Tate, forgive me for asking this, but coroner's findings...
Yes, Mr. Holland. Cardiac failure, natural causes. But I know there was nothing wrong with my husband's heart beyond the fact that it was 65 years old.
But are you sure? I mean, these things do happen.
We were married over 40 years ago. When two people live together for that length of time, they learn about each other almost everything that is to be learned. That's not all. I saw him, you know, after it happened. I had to go and identify him. Mr. Holland, there was a mark on his neck.
A mark?
On the right side, just below the ear. When I pointed it out, they told me it was probably a small cut made while shaving. It didn't look like that to me.
What did it look like?
A bite, Mr. Holland. A bite.
But how could it be a bite?
Don't ask me. You're the scientist. All I know is that the mark on Benson looked like a bite. Large, swollen mark that could have been made by an insect or a small animal.
Talk sense, David. Benson was having an injection in hospital and Professor Tate was making a phone call in his office. What could possibly have bitten them? No, it must be something to do with the fuel. Some toxic reaction he hadn't anticipated.
Don't you test things like fuel beforehand?
Well, for short-term effect, yes. Not for long-term. That takes time. Too much time.
And, of course, Professor Ormskirk's in a hurry, isn't he?
Every reasonable precaution was taken. All the same, it could be that. Some accumulation building up in the system undetected until suddenly this happens.
He said Tate.
What?
Benson. Remember? He said they've got Tate before he collapsed. It doesn't seem to fit in with fuel poisoning. And the medical men can't seem to see beyond some sort of nervous crisis triggered off by his accident. Whereas I...
Yes?
Oh, I don't know, Claire. I don't know. It's clear from what Benson said that there's an element of telepathy.
Telepathy?
I can't think of another word for it, can you?
But it's so...
Oh, I know. Extrasensory perception, all that. You're quite right to be skeptical. I am myself. We heard him say it. What are we to think?
Toxins are a fact.
So is ESP to some people.
Not to me, David.
Want another drink?
No, thanks. 2 days before I left Stowmarket, one of the porters collapsed after walking through the fuel laboratory.
What does that prove?
Nothing in itself. But everyone who's been affected, as far as I know, has had some contact with the rocket fuel.
What's his name?
Johnson. Peter Johnson, a West Indian.
No, he's not on Tate's list.
He should be.
Well, he's not. Have a look. Sure you got the name, right?
Of course I am. Suppose the information had been deliberately kept from Tate.
Who would do that? Ormskirk?
David, I don't know.
Well, we better try and find out what happened to Peter Johnson.
At Stowmarket?
Why not?
I'll try the personnel office first. They keep a record of everything that happens to the staff, even toothache.
I'm coming too.
They won't let you in without a pass.
Not even with you to hold my hand?
Even Professor Ormskirk has to show his pass.
How far to go now?
About half a mile. What are you doing?
Do they search cars?
Oh, no. They check the passes and then wave you through if the passes are in order. Why?
If they don't see me, they won't know I haven't got a pass, will they?
I suppose you could hide in the boot.
Can you drive?
Yes.
Good. You can lock me in the boot. If the guards want to open it, say you've only hired or borrowed the car and you haven't got a key, okay?
Yes.
Sure you want to go through with it?
I haven't forgotten why we're doing this. It's not only Harry Benson and Professor Tate. It's not just those two men up there orbiting in Ormskirk's latest rocket. It's... Well, there is something wrong, isn't there, David? So we've got to go through with it.
Here's the key. Don't lose it or I'll be in real trouble.
Evening, Miss Stewart. May I see your pass, please?
Good evening.
Spot of overtime?
Unpaid, I'm afraid.
Well, I dare say you find the work interesting for its own sake, miss.
Oh, yes, yes, I do.
Thank you, Miss Stewart. All in order.
Thank you.
Is that a new car, miss?
Yes.
I thought I hadn't seen it before. Good cars, they are. All right for touring abroad, if you like that sort of thing. Plenty of room in the boot.
Yes, there is. Well, excuse me, I must be going.
Of course, miss. Good night, miss.
Oh, won't last long if she treats it like that.
Better. A lot of chat in the gate, wasn't there?
I couldn't help it. He would go on.
Plenty of room in the boot, eh? He wants to try it sometime. Well, we got through. So much for checks. Where's the personnel office?
Over here. It'll be empty. The clerical staff never work late.
Now, wait a moment. We want the torch and the screwdriver, I think. Might come in useful.
Oh, you better get inside before the security patrol comes along.
Okay. Lead the way.
Well, that seems to be it.
Three filing cabinets and not a Johnson amongst them.
Well, there must be something.
What's in here? One desk only. Personnel officer himself.
Herself, it's a woman.
Perhaps she keeps a secret file. Not much in this drawer. Rubber bands, box of paper clips.
If it's a secret file, you won't find it in unlocked drawers.
I know. But there might be a key. Well, this drawer's locked. And take the torch.
What are you going to do?
Force it open, with luck.
Oh, try not to damage it.
This isn't the time to worry about a few shillings worth of damage to government property. One more twist and... got it. More rubber bands. Letters.
Is that all?
Let's see. Employment exchange. Gladys Wills applying for a job as a shorthand typist. Shorthand speed 60 WPM. Is that good?
Oh, David, don't waste time. I'm so afraid someone will find us here.
What will they do to us?
I don't know. I used to feel so secure in this job, but since Harry collapsed and all the others, I've got the feeling that anything could happen. Something horrible is happening, and it's got me scared, David. I've never been so scared in my life.
Hold on, I've got it. Look at this card. Johnson Peter, General Porter. Born Trinidad, 5-7-1941. Commenced work... Listen to this, Claire. Transferred Springhurst. Authority PJO.
PJO? That's Ormskirk. He must have given the order.
He must have kept the information from Tate. But where and what is Springhurst?
Name of a village? A town?
Or a hospital?
Well, there should be a directory somewhere.
This card should be in the card index in the other office. Someone wanted it kept out of the way. Ormskirk, I suppose. But why was he so anxious that Tate shouldn't know about it?
Here you are, local phone directory.
Yes. Springer, Springfield's Garage, Springhurst, Mrs. G.E. Hello, what's this? Springhurst Mental Hospital near Lavenham.
Well, that's not far from here.
A mental hospital?
I told you, it's an illness that affects people in different ways.
We'll go there tomorrow. Now, let's get out of here. Nice-looking house.
Oh, I hate these places.
But it's so pleasant. Trees, birds, they're restful. What more could anyone want?
To be cured.
A revolving door, too. Touch of luxury about this place. And who's paying?
Good morning. Can I help you?
Good morning. We'd like to see Mr. Peter Johnson.
I'm afraid if you're not relatives...
Oh, but we are.
We're friends. Close friends.
I'll tell Dr. Harris. Will you take a seat, please?
Phew. When I slept up there, I forgot Johnson was a West Indian.
What are we going to tell him?
And Dr. Harris?
If he sees us.
He'll see us.
How do you know?
I would if I were in his place. The point is, will he let us see Johnson?
Believe me, I'm not unsympathetic, but I'm afraid it's out of the question. Quite out of the question.
We've come a long way, Dr. Harris.
I wish you'd taken the precaution of telephoning beforehand, as you'd have saved yourselves the journey. I'm sorry, Mr. Holland, but it's our rule that only relatives may be allowed to visit patients, unless the circumstances demand otherwise.
Peter hasn't any relatives to visit him.
Oh? I understood there was a brother.
Has he been here?
As it happens, no.
In that case...
I'm sorry, Mr. Holland. You've not convinced me that the circumstances are in any way exceptional. I'm afraid you can't see him.
Dr. Harris, we've come from the Institute of Stellar Research. It is vitally important that we see Peter Johnson.
Oh, my dear young lady, why didn't you say so before? Did Ormskirk send you, Professor Ormskirk?
Some more research has to be done.
Oh, quite. Though there's nothing new to report, I'm afraid. His condition is unchanged.
Unchanged?
There's been no improvement.
I see.
I don't know what you people are playing at over there, but the patient's condition is entirely beyond comprehension. To me, at any rate.
Do you think the fuel toxicity...
No, out of the question. I hoped you might be going to suggest something new. Johnson was never in the fuel laboratory. Sonic vibration, maybe?
Dr. Harris, we do have a theory. Perhaps not so far from what you've just mentioned. We can't say more at present. But we must see the patient.
Oh, this secrecy. I know it's an important government project, top secret and so forth, so I mustn't ask too many questions, must I? All right, never mind. Yes, you can see the patient if you think you've got a solution to the mystery. There's obviously not much we can do for this poor chap at present, bar give him the best possible care and attention, the very best. Well, you'd better come with me.
Peter Johnson.
Do you think he can hear us?
As you see, he doesn't appear to be unconscious. His eyes are open, he seems wide awake, but he doesn't respond to any normal stimulus. An advanced catatonic condition so far unexplained.
Peter Johnson, can you hear me? Peter Johnson.
You see, not a flicker.
Let me try.
I cannot permit any further disturbances. You've seen him, and you know that his condition has shown no improvement. I think we'd better leave it at that.
But we've got to know more.
I can only say I share your desire for enlightenment, Mr. Holland. There are so many things about this case for which it's impossible to find any rational explanation. The EEG, that is the encephalograph tracings, for example, I'd give 10 years of my life to know what they mean. You've seen them, no doubt.
Well, we didn't, at least...
Professor Ormskirk certainly received them. He sent an acknowledgement. You have come from Professor Ormskirk, haven't you?
What did you make of the tracings, Doctor?
I'm really not qualified to give an opinion.
What was the opinion of your experts, then?
If Ormskirk sent you, you ought to know. The EEG tracings have gone to your institute. They were accompanied by a report which made the position as clear as we were able. Did Ormskirk send you? I must say it seems highly irregular. I had no notification that you were coming, not a word.
Isn't it also irregular to send EEG tracings to anyone who happens to ask for them?
Who are you? I don't believe you're from the Institute. Who are you?
Dr. Harris, this is my security pass card. I'm one of Professor Ormskirk's chief assistants. Now, please tell us just one more thing. After all, you're a doctor. You certainly care more about your patient's well-being than politics between physicists. Professor Ormskirk's a very busy man. He doesn't always follow every single problem. Oh, it's difficult to explain. I'm getting confused, but I know you care for Johnson's welfare, and so do we. Dr. Harris, please, can you tell us, has Johnson said anything whilst he's been here?
Well, that's a harmless question. Not much, no. Certainly nothing that has any meaning we could discover.
What did he say?
A single word, no more. It's here in the case notes. Here we are. Patient uttered the word Tate several times.
Tate?
Can you tell us when he said it?
Certainly. It was the 17th of this month.
At 4:35 p.m.?
How did you know?
I put two and two together. Now, can we go back to those tracings?
I've made my position clear. If you want to know any more, you must ask Professor Ormskirk. The matter's been taken out of my hands.
By non-medical people?
I prefer not to discuss that. There's nothing more I can tell you that I haven't already told the Institute.
Sick West Indian in a mental hospital. A dead professor of biochemistry. And Harry Benson.
And something that connects all three.
Still think it's the fuel?
Mm-mm, not now. It's the element of...
Say it, Claire. Telepathy.
Oh, I wish I understood.
Why was he so cagey about the encephalograph tracings? It was more than professional caution. There's something very odd about the state of Johnson's mind. We'll never get those tracings out of Ormskirk.
David, I've got an idea.
We could do with a few.
What about Harry Benson?
What about him?
Of course. Get his EEG.
But would they allow it?
You'd have to repeat your famous performance.
What performance?
Getting round the medical profession.
Oh, that.
I've got a feeling it's not going to be so easy this time.
We've got to try, David. We haven't a hope of getting hold of Peter Johnson's tracing, so it's our only chance.
What do you think it's going to tell us?
I can't imagine. Can you?
Shall we go straight there?
Why not?
And if he says no?
He's got to say yes. He's got to.
No. No, I don't risk it.
But even I know that an EEG is harmless.
I agree. But at this stage it can serve no useful purpose, and I don't want him moved.
But this is vital, and it may help him, even if only indirectly.
Miss Stewart, I'd like to cooperate with you. But in Benson's present condition, indirect help isn't enough. It's difficult enough to help him directly. Keeping him sedated presents enormous difficulties.
Why?
For one thing, we can't inject.
Because the needle bit him.
Oh, please. Hysteria can cause all sorts of strange reactions.
But it was you who said it was a bite.
It looked like one, I agree, but it couldn't be.
All right. Let's agree it was an injection reaction. For the second point, the moment Tate was dying, Benson called out his name.
Benson and Miss Stewart were going to see Tate. Professor Tate was bound to be on his mind.
And the bite on Tate's neck?
Oh, we've been through all this. Don't you see? You're all looking for something. You, Miss Stewart, Professor Tate's wife, you're making things fit.
Even the West Indian?
Oh, he could have known about Tate crossing Ormskirk.
Would that make him cry out Tate's name at the same time as Benson and when Tate was dying?
I'm stuck. I don't know what to say.
We must know. We've got to try and prevent it happening to other people.
I'm only a doctor. My first responsibility is to my individual patient. Why must you ask me?
Because the Stella Research Institute have refused to reveal anything about this man Johnson's brain tracings.
Well, they must have some good reason.
Give me one.
The rule that requires a medical practitioner to keep silent about his patients.
But they aren't medical practitioners.
You're inviting me into a conspiracy, and you don't really know why you're in it yourselves. I'll let you see Benson. I'll even help your inquiries, but I don't disturb him.
I thought you said he was in a coma.
Well, I'd be more correct to say that he's semi-comatose. Occasionally he mutters things. Nothing coherent, before you ask.
Nothing at all?
Well, he did say one intelligible word this morning, two, in fact. Sister was most impressed.
What did he say?
He asked Sister for a drink. At least that was how she interpreted it.
He asked for a drink?
Well, not in so many words. He said, thirst, then spring, then thirst again. Incidentally, he didn't actually say it. It was more of a shout.
And do you think this meant he wanted a drink of water?
I agree. It's not exactly explicit. Unfortunately, by the time Sister had brought the glass of water, poor Benson had relapsed back into his coma, so I don't suppose we shall ever know. Apart from that, he has uttered no intelligible words at all.
I'd like to put it to you, Doctor, that what he was saying was not, as Sister thought, spring thirst, but Springhurst.
Well, why should he say that?
Is it possible?
Well, I suppose so, but I really don't see any reason.
Dr. Edwards, we haven't yet told you the name of the mental hospital we visited this morning.
Huh?
It was Springhurst. Now do you understand why Benson might have said it?
It's uncanny. Tell me, is Benson acquainted with this West Indian?
Well, he may know of him. He certainly didn't know that he'd been sent to Springhurst Mental Hospital.
You're quite sure?
He'd have told me.
Strange case. May need strange medicine. I don't want to move Benson, but... Well, it does look as if there might be something in what you say.
If it's not telepathy, what is it? Find another word.
Oh, all right. You've convinced me. Congratulations. Hello? Will you get me the EEG department, please? I want to speak to Dr. Kellaway. Thank you.
He's semi-comatose. That'll affect the tracings, of course.
All the same, the fact is, Kellaway, I don't think things are quite what they seem.
Well, they seldom are. But what's all the mystery, Matthew? Why don't you want my technician to be present?
I think it's better to restrict the number of people present to as few as possible.
I suspect you'd have done without me, too, if you could.
That's about it.
emergency methods.
Well, you'll have to give me a hand. I hope you can remember what to do. Your two friends, they're not medical, I take it?
No, sort of a scientists.
Harry, it's okay.
All right, Miss Stewart, I'm depending on you to keep him calm. And everybody else, please say as little as possible.
Can we get on?
I'm ready. Remember how to fit the electrodes, Matthew.
Yes.
Harry, Harry, it's to help you.
Those little gadgets that Dr. Edwards is attaching to the patient's head, they are the electrodes. The activity of the brain is recorded in the form of an electrical impulse. Look at these tracings. You can see the sort of pattern we can expect to get. A flattening out of the waveform shows increased mental activity. Trouble, Matthew?
He's resisting.
Here, let me...
We can't go on with this.
We must.
But he's resisting as if his very life...
You must go on.
No, get away.
Claire, let me have a go.
No.
Benson, try. Try.
Get away from him. We've got to get him out quickly. Killaway, sedation.
No.
Listen.
Try. Hands.
David, take his hands.
Okay, Benson. I'm here. Hold on.
We must give him a sedative.
Can't you see? He's fighting his own resistance. Get on with it before he breaks.
Quick. Stay.
Go on, Killaway.
Press that button. Right, look, the impulse has come out of that roll of paper. Delicate, Mr. Stewart.
God's sake, hurry!
We
can't go on.
We've got to get more. Mr. Stewart, press that button when I say press.
Right.
Press.
Killaway, this is harming my patient.
Stop.
He's calmer now. He's lapsing. He seems to be going to sleep.
Dr. Edwards, he's not...
No, he's all right.
Edwards, look at this. Look at those waveforms.
They're certainly very unusual.
Unusual? They're impossible. Just look at the amplitude of those waves. What's this patient's history? I must admit, but it is impossible. There must be some rational explanation. You see...
What are you trying to tell us?
I'm trying to tell you that here we have a man talking and struggling that is active. And yet the waveforms, instead of growing smaller, have become gigantic, monstrous. And anyway, they don't conform.
Don't conform to what?
To any known pattern of the human brain.
In God's name, man, do you realize what you're saying?
Yes, Matthew, I do.
But what is it?
I don't know. I only know what it isn't.
But the impulses are coming from his brain. This is a man, an ordinary human being.
Look, I admit that these impulses have come from this patient. I don't deny that they could have been transmitted by a brain, and that the brain may be his brain. But I will swear on oath, if necessary, that it is not a human brain.
Host Planet Earth was written by Anne Howell and Colin Cooper and produced by Nestor Payne.